of the Nesi'im and the way that they inaugurated the Mishkan, because Hanukkah is an inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. I talked a little bit with you last week about the different periods of inauguration. And suddenly, Parshas Naso concludes with, or it's juxtaposed to Parshas Baloscha. So the very famous Rashi, probably you can't get a Rashi more famous, Lama Nismacha, Parshas Nesi'im, the Parshas HaMenorah, because Aaron was depressed. Because he allowed the other Nesi'im to preempt him. And he said, let them bring their matanos. I'll show you in a second. Let them bring their matanos. And whatever they don't provide, I'll provide. And they were so enthusiastic and so excited that they essentially delivered everything within a span of 2 months. So all the people have delivered the various materials and the Nesi'im, their gifts. Please close the door, coffee bringers. So Aaron was a little bit dejected. So Hashem says, don't worry. Shelcha gedola, Mordechai, just in time. He tells Aaron HaKohen, Shelcha gedola mishelahem, don't worry. Though you may have missed the inauguration of the Mikdash, you have a mitzvah that supersedes their gifts. Which mitzvah? The menorah. The Ramban asked the famous question. That's how Hashem consoles Aaron HaKohen? If you were looking to highlight the unique role of a Kohen Gadol, to re-inspirit or to rejuvenate Aaron, what would you talk about? The Minchas Chavitin maybe, the Korban that a Kohen brings every day, the Kodesh HaKadoshim that he enters once a year uniquely, you'd see maybe Mare Kohen Mordechai, Nesias Kapayim. Of all the exciting and electrifying mitzvahs that a Kohen Gadol possesses, HaMitzvah Yechida Sheba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menachem Aaron HaKohen, Zor Mitzvat HaMenorah B'Beit HaMikdash Ba'alotcha Tanerot Nechlesha Dato Shel Aaron HaKohen. As Ramban mitarets l'Rashi, Shakadosh Baruch Hu lo menachem et Aaron HaKohen nehadlakat menorah b'Beit HaMikdash. He'll mer, Aaron, you see all those silver plates? They're very exciting now, but when the Mishkan is destroyed, they'll disappear from view. Have you ever seen a plate that the Nesi'im dedicated to the Mishkan? Have you ever seen a golden cup that they used for the spices? They're lost to history. The wagons, no one has seen them. But your menorah, though the mitzvah hadlakat menorah b'Beit HaMikdash tistayem b'chorban HaMikdash or b'chorban HaMishkan, avol Am Yisrael yamshichu ladlik et haMenorah b'vatehem, v'haMenorah shekol Yehudi yadlik b'vayit misamelet. It symbolizes menorah b'Beit HaMikdash. As haMenorah shata madlik b'Beit HaMikdash, tamshich timashech gam b'meshech haGalut. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Aaron, I'm consoling you with a mitzvah which has greater elasticity, time-wise, than all these gifts that are time-bound. All these gifts are inaugurating the Mishkan. Your mitzvah will stretch, will be elastic throughout the diaspora, throughout Galus. So we talked a little bit about that last week. That's why we light in the Beis HaKnesses, according to the Manhig, because the Beis HaKnesses is the closest we have to the Beis HaMikdash. What I want to talk about today is, while we read the Parsha today of the Menorah, what was the Menorah of the Beis HaMikdash constructed of? What are the unique qualities, and how can we understand some of the unique halachos of that menorah as we complete the lighting with our menorah? As I am nasok b'gemara b'menachos daf chavchas, uvedin shel menorahs hamikdash shelafi aramban menorahs hamikdash hua basis l'menorah shelaru l'chanukiyah shelanu shemadlikim b'vayit ze mikoach hamenorah b'Beit HaMikdash. Hamenorah shel Beit HaMikdash mituaret is described b'shnei mekomot, b'ikar b'parshat Truma. Begam beparshat ba'alotcha, samuch l'nesi'im. Vekamuvan, yesh halachot miyuchadot l'menorah, sheinan kayamot b'shar kelim. Eiz halachot miyuchadot l'menorah, which special halachos did your eye detect for menorah? What's the most...
Miksha.
What? Miksha. That's the most intriguing one, engineering-wise or physics-wise, but basic-wise, what would you first think about?
Zahav
tahor. It's the only kli in the Mishkan that's Zahav Tahor. All the other primary kelim are plated gold. This is Zahav Tahor. Okay, yes.
Doesn't that have the Mechon HaMikdash? They have it plated because it's like one solid hollow.
Right, we'll see. But in the real Beis HaMikdash, they may, because you know how to make the real Beis HaMikdash just kelim. So most of the kelim are plated gold, but this is Zahav Tahor.
It's made. Meaning that it's also solid because it's solid around the outside, but it's just hollow.
Okay, solid, but it's not wood plated. All the other kelim, the skeleton was wood, it was plated with gold. Here it's pure gold.
Whether
it's
okay,
well, let's focus on Menachos and we'll talk about the Mechon HaMikdash. You can ask them that question. It's a very good question. Okay. Chav Chesem and Elephant. The second halacha, which is interesting, is, as Mencion said before, is halacha of Miksha. Shetalayachal harkiv, keta leketa, chatich lechatich, chelek lechelek, tzrich leasot veletaken et kol ha-minorah mechaticha achat shel zahav, which takes a lot of craftsmanship and artisanship. Lasot et ha-minorah bitzura shel Miksha. What other halacha is specific to menorah that's unique? The very ornate elements that seem to possess no function. What are those elements? Kaftorim, prachim, givim. Ein shum kli achar b'mikdash sheish tichshut. Tachshut is a jewel. Tichshut is the noun. That's what I'm looking for. Decoration or ornamental value. Kamo sheish l'minorah. Az b'minorah yesh givim, kaftorim, prachim. V'kamuvan, halacha achrona sheish Kikar. Shetzuchim lasalt, yesh machlokas Rashi verambam, karega lo chashuv, minimum or the exact amount, which makes it even more delicate from a craftsmanship standpoint, but there's a minimum amount of gold that has to be incorporated into the menorah. Kikar zav. Normally you make the kli, whatever volume is necessary based on the person, the blacksmith, or whatever the metal worker will need. The menorah, kikar zav, verov alachot baot beparshat truma. Ve'efshar gam lirot b'parsha et ha-netachim ha-shonim, the different levels. We just read the psukim. Different. What? Don't ask me. Google it. You get a better answer than I'll be able to give you. Okay. B'psukim v'truma v'yasisa minorat zahav tahor. So right off the bat you have zahav tahor as opposed to the wood-plated aron and the wood-plated shulchan. Miksha te'asam minorat. And then the Torah describes the architecture after Miksha. Very important to remember this. Yirecha kana givya kaftaref racheha. Talks about the base. Talks about the ornamental elements. Shisha kanim. Shosha givyim. Several psukim about the givyim, kaftarim, and prachim. And then the Torah concludes, kaftarem uknosem menu kula miksha. Gets back to Miksha. And then it concludes, kikar zahav tahor yaselta et kol hakelim. Parshat Balotcha, Rak Muva, Tadin Shal Miksha, Mikikar. It's like Gemara Bibin Achob, but Af Chavchet, Notenet, Drasha, Maot Manyan. It's like Gemara, Ba Miksha, Ba Givim Kaftarim Ufrachim. Ena Ba Miksha, Ena Ba Givim Kaftarim Ufrachim. Ba Miksha, Ba Kikar Zav. Ena Ba Miksha, Ena Ba Kikar Zav. Ba Miksha, Sin Ba Zav, Ba Miksha, Ena Ba Zav, Eina ba miksha. Shalosh drashot b'gamar b'chav chasim and aleph. All these requirements, namely, kikar, miksha, and the ornaments, givim kaftarim u'prachim, and yichayav otam rakim ha-menorah yizahav. Shal asot etam menorah b'di'evet kishayna shel zahav. Aval imo sim menorah kishayna shel zahav, lo tzuchim givim kaftarim u'prachim, lo tzuchim miksha, v'lo tzuchim kikar. This is a very interesting phenomenon. We have lechatchilas b'di'evet in life, that we know. Lechatchila perform X, b'di'evet Y is sufficient. But normally, the only differential between the lechatchila and the b'di'evet is just that. Is it ideal or secondary? When you default to the secondary level, you don't suspend the halachos of the mitzvah or of the halacha that you're involved in. So if you want to tell me that the menorah doesn't have to be zav, lechatchila should be zav, but there's a limud, Te'aseh, kol minei matechas, as the Gemara says, you don't need zahav. So lechatchila make zahav, if you're in the chashmarayim and there's no zahav, as the Gemara says, you'll use barzel or you'll use kesef. It's not lechatchila, but it's still kasher. But all of a sudden, the mitzvah, when it's not performed with zahav, gets downgraded to the omission of three halachos that seem to be integral to the menorah. Miksha, kikar, and givim kaftar and prachim. Ba'zav, ba'miksha. Ain't a ba'zav, ain't a ba'zav. You don't need it. You don't even need miksha. If it's not zav, forget about miksha. It's not a value. If it's not zav, forget about kikar. If it's not zav, forget about the ornaments. What's happening to this menorah? Ain't about zav. It's a tayezerak b'di'evet. Somehow, someone fill in the blank, it sounds like this menorah has, the kli of the menorah has, can I tease it from you? It's a dual identity. Tzvei halachot, tzvei dinim. There are two different facets to the menorah. there's one facet that's baseline and that's independent of Zahav and doesn't require all these special halachos to be effective. And there's another facet, feature, function of the menorah that you only experience if you have Zahav, and then once you reach that category, that function, then to properly serve the function, you need Miksha Kikar. Otherwise, this is just random. Why should the suspension of Zav lead to the disregard of Miksha Kikar and Gevim Kaftara? If not for the fact that there are two tracks to menorah, two functions, two roles, and one role is only achieved when you have Zav, and at that point you need all these ingredients. But in the absence of Zav, you don't have that role of the menorah, hence you don't need the ingredients. That seems to be the setup. I'll give you the content, but that seems to be the way to set up this sugya. Otherwise, it seems totally random. Why should the suspension of Zav? Again, remember, in Halach and Lamdas, you're looking for unnatural associations, things that seem random that have to be connected to a common logic. There seems to be nothing random by the lack. So a lack of Zav, if anything, make it more ornamental. Right? From a purely pragmatic standpoint, you don't have Zav, maybe put more ornaments to make it nicer, to make it more impressive. So the suspension of Zav shouldn't necessarily lead to the suspension of all these other halachos. If anything, you should try to compensate. So obviously it has to be categorical. Without Zav, the menorah is not serving in its full capacity. So, what's the role of the Beis HaMikdash? Is it a place for korbanos? Or is it a place for the Makom HaShechina? Which Rishonim famously argue about that question. What's the role of having a Mishkan or a Mikdash? What'd you say? Before the Rambam, Rashi and the Ramban. What's the timeline of the Mishkan? Classically, what does Rashi believe? When was the Mishkan introduced? When was the Tzivui given? After the Egel. So the Mishkan is a response to Chet, and it serves to facilitate Korbanos, Chatos, Penitence, Tshuva, so to speak, in theory. If not for the Egel, there would be no need for a Mishkan. Or less need for a Mishkan until the Kat Eretz Yisrael. It's hard to imagine a world without a Beis HaMikdash, but it's easy to imagine a world without a Mishkan, according to Rashi. Or it's according to the Ramban, Yesh Mokdim Ocher Batara. When was the Tzivur given?
It was given before.
Parshas Truma, as the text suggests. And the Mishkan, Binyamin, is not just a response to Chet, but it's an attempt to incorporate Har Sinai in a more routine context. Har Sinai was supernatural revelation. How can we incorporate, distill it in a day-to-day encounter between God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and His people? So right off the bat, the chronology is suggestive of two different roles for the Mishkan and ultimately for the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the Makom Avod, the Makom Korbanos, Makom Korbanos, Makom Chatos, Makom... Asher Be'etzem, Mishkan v'Mishkan, v'Mishkan v'Mikdash, the Beis Hashem, Makom HaShechina. אז יש מחלוקת פנימית כמו שהרמב״ם מביא את שניהם, גם מקום של קורבנות, כמובן זה לא מחלוקת, בבית המקדש יש שניהם. אז בבית המקדש, שהוא בא מכוח המשכן, יש גם את הרובד של קורבנות ועבודות, אבל גם את הרובד של בית השם, מקום השכינה. וכמובן, אם יש שתי הלכות, או צווי דינים, או שני הביתים לבית המקדש, אז גם לכלים יש שני תפקידים. תפקיד אחד של כלים, מה התפקיד של כלי המקדש? לאפשר שירות, עבודה, קורבנות. מזבח כדי לאפשר הקרבה. שולחן זה גם הקרבה, כי יש לבונה, מקריבים את הלבונה למזבח, זאת אומרת עבודה. אבל יש סיבה אחרת שיש כלים בבית המקדש, לא רק לאפשר עבודה, אלא, what are the כלים for? Beautify the Mikdash, create a home environment, furniture, gallant, decorative, ornate furniture, furniture for the Beis Hashem. So before you even say the word menorah, if we're just learning Hilchos Beis HaMikdash, it's clear you've got two different concepts in mind, and those two concepts stem from different views as to the primary role of Beis HaMikdash. Come on, without asking which is primary, they're both necessary. Which is primary, Rashi, Ramban, but they're clearly both latent in the Beis HaMikdash. Out of the major kelim, which is the only kli that doesn't have classic mizbeach-based avoda? Which is the kli that's most attached to the mizbeach? Not geographically, but functionally. The menorah. Every other kli has a Mizbeach element, either because it's the Mizbeach proper, or because the spice of the Shulchan was Nikrava Gabi Mizbeach every Shabbos, the Kapei Levona, or because it's an Aron, and it wouldn't be associated with Avodah until it's Yom Kippur, and the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSayer are Nizrak Amul Ohel, Kineget Tefach Shel HaAron. The menorah negavit never gets near the Mizbeach. Hashem and Allah menorah eina olah al gabi Mizbeach. In fact, is a big machlokus in the Gemara. Yim hadlaka havi avoda o eina nechshevet avoda ad kidei kach shelefi haberi shonim hadlaka kasher bizar. Shai, you can do hadlakas menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. There's one problem. You can't enter the Heichal. But if you had a long, long rod on the end of which was a match, you could perform, according to many Rishonim, hadlakas menorah. You can't do shchita. You can't be a makri for the Levona. Ki Elohim avodos ve'avoda psula bizar. Ava hadlaka kashera bizar ki lo nechshevet avoda. So if we're looking for the kli in which the quotient of avoda is diminished, I'm not saying it's not an avoda at all, but the element of decoration is enhanced, which would it be? The menorah. Who suggests, who's the first Rishon to highlight the menorah as something which beautifies the Mishkan, and specifically because of its gold component? The Ramban. Ma Lashon Shel Ramban, famous language of the Ramban, four words. Leromeim Beis Elokeinu. Ramban Bebaloscha. Leromeim Beis Elokeinu. Kedela Teit Tiferet Vitromemut Vipair. So the menorah, not saying, forget whether it has a avoda or not formally. There's the Maisa Hadlaka. Vitzvichim Menorah Kedela Avsher Maisa Hadlaka. Whether you call it an avoda or not, but it's still a Maisa, we'll call it a Maisa Sheret, Maisa Avoda. Just when I say the word avoda today, don't take it literally. It may not be classic avoda, but it's still a ceremony of lighting. Avo Yesh Menorah Tafkir Acher. Lorak Avsher Maisa Hadlaka. Elagam Leromeim Beis Elokeinu, Ulai Bimenara, Hanosea Zeshel Ramein Beis Elokeinu, Zenosea Achi Boleit, Achi Mudgash, Ki HaMais HaLaka, Rubachla Lo Nechshevet Avoda, Ulai Zemais HaLaka, Oz Avoda. Zot Omeret, Bimenara Atzma, Yesh Shtei Alachos, Mais HaLaka, Ve Leromein Beis Elokeinu. Interestingly enough, just to widen your horizons a little bit, this second element may transform the menorah and its oil. In order to appreciate that, let's see a Rashi in Shabbos. What does Rashi in Shabbos say? The Mishnah says that if you carry in your right hand or your left hand, who knows the rest of the Mishnah? Who has a Gemara Shabbos? Anybody in Gemara Shabbos? Tzadik Beizim and Al, very famous Rashi. We'll read it together. Or in your lap or on your body, on your torso. What's the fourth place if you carry? What? On your shoulders, you're chayiv. If you carry other ways, it's irregular and you're not chayiv minatar. So Rashi quotes a brisa, that that's how the B'nai Kehas carried in the desert. Okay, v'kudas Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Shemen Amor, Gitaras Asamim, Minchas HaTamid, Shemen HaMishcha. Elazar was in charge. Very important line here, guys. Elazar was in charge of all the Kohanim. He was an Amarkel. He distributed the various responsibilities of carrying, but he also personally carried things to the Midbar. If you want to be a true leader, one of the ingredients of leadership is not just to delegate properly. You have to delegate to be a proper leader. You can't perform it all on your own, but to be personally involved. It would have been very easy for Elazar to say, you know what, I'm busy distributing. I'm the controller, dispatcher. He says, I'm going to carry. How much could he carry? Two hands, but he carried something on his body, and he carried it on his shoulders. What did he carry? So the Braisa says, Shemen Amor, Kitaris Asamim, Minchas Atamid, Shemen Amishcha. The oil for the menorah, the oil for anointing, the Kitaris, and the Minchas Hatamid, the Minchas Chavitin. It's not clear what he carried in each. One he carried in his right hand, one in his left hand, one in his body, and one in his shoulders. So since he carried in that fashion, that's regular carrying, because we learn everything from the Mishkan about Shabbos, and that type of carrying you're chayav on Shabbos. Famous question of the Iglei Tal. You know who wrote the Iglei Tal? Reb Avram. You know his last name? Bornstein from Sachashav, who is also known as writing the Avnei Nezer. Very famous 18th century Svarim. Iglei Tal on Shabbos, Avnei Nezer in general. Very, very important sefer. He asks a famous question on Rashi, according to most Rishonim. We can only learn Shabbos violations, not from karbanos that took place in the Mishkan, but from, anyone know this?
Building.
Very good. We can only learn Melacha Shabbos from activities necessary to build. All the planting was necessary to grow tcheles in order to dye the big day kuna, or to grow wood for the Yasei Shittim. But if something was performed as a Maisa Avoda, that can't serve as a template for an Issur Shabbos. So how can we learn, Rashi, he asks, from the fact that Elazar carried the oil from the menorah in his right hand, is the oil from menorah, is that building related or karbanos related? What would you say before the shir began? Karbanos related, it's activities in the Mishkan. So the fact that Elazar carries oil in his right hand, or let's say he carried the oil in his shoulders, can prove that shoulder carrying on Shabbat is melachas letzah. Because this was carrying oil for daily rituals and daily ceremonies, daily avodas, or avoda-like activities, not for the building. This is a famous question on Rashi. And someone would say that maybe Rashi disagrees, and he feels that you can learn Shabbos violations from non-building related activities, even from day-to-day ceremony activities. But how can you answer the Iglei Tal's question based on what we just said? Carrying oil for menorah, is that part of daily avoda or is it part of the building?
Well, if you, like for the they needed the menorah as part of the ceremony.
But that's still ceremony.
But that might be like considered like the building. Like
say even stronger. If the menorah is not just necessary for hadlaka or hadlaka during the 8 days, but it's necessary.
Also, it's like the last final element.
To create ambience and aura, and to create an air of regality. And so, it's part of the furniture. It's part of the building. Remember the Mechlokes Ramban and Balamar yesterday? Is the Mizbech a Kli Shares? What's part of the Mishkan? What is essential to the Mishkan? So this is an answer to the Iglei Tal's question. The menorah is not just there to facilitate lighting. The menorah is there because it's part of creating a palatial, regal, ornamental house of Hashem, the Roman base Hashem, if anything, the menorah lends to it. And therefore, the menorah has to be, or the oil of the menorah is necessary in order for there to be a candelabra in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's part of building, not part of the home. Daniel? So this is a very, by the way, has anyone ever heard of the Sefer Beis Yishai? Or Shlomo Fisher, one of the big Tamini Chachamim of our generation. He's not really affiliated with any yeshiva. I don't know if he's probably older now. He first of all used to come to Gush to give a shir. He used to spend 3 nights a week sleeping in this yeshiva and learning, then sleeping in that yeshiva and learning. He was just, when I was in yeshiva, he was already known as just going throughout the yeshivas and giving shiurim. His son-in-law learned here in yeshiva many, many years. He's more affiliated with the Haredi world, but his son-in-law is a big, he's a rav now, one of the Hezder yeshivas. His daughter is actually a very famous professor, Chana Kehat. She married Baruch Kehat. She's well known for some of her opinions that some people feel are very feminist in today's world. She's an Orthodox professor, but she wrote a very famous sefer on the Netziv. She's probably the world's authority on the Netziv. She took all the Netziv's writings and organized them, very Mishnah Sanetziv, I think it's called. So Shlomo Fisher wrote a sefer called Beis Yishai. So this is a claim he makes to defend Rashi against Iglei Tal's question. So Shemin Hamor, because the menorah, he's not just, he quotes a little Rabbi Leib text here. He quotes a famous Tosfos in the beginning of Parshas Truma. We don't really typically read Tosfos on the Torah. We read Tosfos on Torah Shebaal Peh. But Tosfos in the beginning of Truma asks a question.
Is there Tosfos on Truma?
There is a parish of Tosfos on Truma.
Just on Truma?
No, on the entire Torah. He asks a question. Truma describes basically the construction of the Mishkan. Why does the menorah appear in one of its Parshas Tetzaveh, I think it is, Big Day Kahuna. Why does Shemin appear? I think it's either Truma Tetzaveh, and the answer that Tosfos gives is because the menorah is part of the Mishkan. It's there, Lahosif, I forget the exact language of the Tosfos. So the Beis Yishai employs this Tosfos to solve the question of the Iglei Tal against Rashi. So let's just summarize before we answer questions. Hochachnu, Shebichlal, B'li Kesher LeMenorah, Yesh shnei elementim lebeis hamikdash. Makom avoda, v'makom hashchina. U'meil lekli hamikdash, yesh shtei funkciot. Funkcia achat, le'afsher avoda, kol kli me'afsher et avoda shelo. Aval yesh halacha acheret, shekol kli toremet la'avira hamalchutit, ha'mefuaret shel beit hamikdash, v'im yesh kli shebe'emet toremet, zeh kli shel ha'menorah, sheba l'romein beit elokeinu, shesham nekudat ha'itrumemut. היא מאוד מאוד בולטת, ואלמנט של עבודה מאוד מאוד מצומצמת, כי הדלקה לא נחשבת עבודה. Questions. Maybe there are certain types of menorahs that serve both functions on the board. There's a type of menorah in which the ornamental decorative function doesn't exist. What type of menorah would perform both functional as well as ornamental? Which type of menorah where the ornamental decorative element maybe not exist and it would only be purely functional? What would be the key determinant in your mind?
It's gold.
It's gold. Excellent. If the menorah is gold, then it's both a candelabra for lighting and it's also a palatial ornamental piece. If it's not gold, so the Gemara says, a menorah, you're still lighting. You're still performing an act of lighting on a structural menorah. But that whole Leromein Beis Elokeinu palatial regal decoration may not exist. At which point the Gemara says, Ba'zav. Is Miksha part of the menorah's hadlaka or is it part of the menorah's haper, Leromein Beis Elokeinu? Is Miksha necessary to enable hadlaka, or is miksha only necessary to create ambience and regality? Does miksha help the hadlaka? No. Miksha is purely to create something, a spectacle, a conversation piece, something regal. Oh, only the king can have a menorah made of miksha. Most commoners have to have a menorah that's put together by assembly parts and interchangeable parts. So the Gemara says, if you have a menorah zav, you have a menorah that's both hadlaka facilitating as well as ornamental. Zav, a menorah of Zav is both a menorahs hadlaka and a menorahs, we'll call it pe'er, to make it short. Ah, Zav is both, then you need miksha. If it's not Zav, it's not a menorah. In fact, it has a different language. What does the Gemara even call it on Daf Chaf Chasim and Beis? What did they make? The Chashmonaim, when they didn't have Zav. They used eights according to one day, but what did they call it? They didn't call it. They called it Shbudin. Wasn't even a menorah. It has a name, a just lighting menorah without being an ornamental menorah. So it's not Zav, it's just the Shbudin. It's not a menorah's pe'er. It's just a menorah's hadlaka. So, eina ba miksha. Miksha is totally, totally irrelevant because miksha isn't something practical to enable hadlaka. Miksha is just to create ornamental and decorative value. What's the second halacha? That's not necessary for function, it's necessary only for aesthetics. Kaftorim, for sure. Kaftorim, prachim, gviim, lend absolutely no functional value. You could light the menorah without any of these ornaments. So if you have zav, you've got a menorah that's one halacha, and two menorahs pair, so you need miksha. Guys, let's see. Take another seat. Sorry to do it to you, but we talked about this. Okay. So if it's a menorah zav, you need miksha. If it's not a menorah zav, you don't need miksha. If it's a menorah zav, you need kaftorim and prachim. If it's not a menorah zav, you don't need kaftorim and prachim. Einu ba kaftorim and prachim. What else? What's the third element that is no functional value? What is no functional value?
Kikar.
What difference does it make with it? A kikar zav, less than a kikar zav. So ba zav, ba kikar. Ena ba zav, ena ba kikar. So now the b'risa makes sense. This association between zav and these other halacha, which we rarely find in halacha. You find in halacha, you don't have zav, but b'di'eved, you use barzel, b'di'eved, you use kesa, b'di'eved, you use etz. All of a sudden, you yotze b'di'eved, and you suspend at all levels, the need for a miksha, zav, and miksha kaftorim, because there are two halachas in the menorah. The menorah ha'idealit, yesh gam menoras hadlaka, v'gam menoras pe'er. Avazerakim menorah ba'mizav. In menorah lo ba'mizav, azur adayin echshab menoras hadlaka, av menoras hadlaka, lo tzricha givim kafterim prachim, lo tzricha kikar, v'gam lo tzricha eta miksha. Okay? So this is a way of explaining the brisa in the Gemara Menachos, and you see, I hope, the same tools and the same methodology that we use in Bava Kamma being applied to Menachos Chavches. And look at that, Menachos Chavches doesn't have any Rishonim. So you can't navigate your way through a Rashba or a Tosva Beinu Peretz. You're just looking at a Brisa. You have to have the ability to ask the question on the Brisa and start to think in the patterns that you develop by reading Rishonim in Bava Metzia, Bava Kamma, Bava Basra, and then applying to Menachos. We just have nothing. There's no Rishonim in Menachos. There's no Rashba. There's no Rabbeinu Peretz. There's a Rashi. There's maybe a Tosas. There's a Rambam. That's why the Briskers love Menachos so much, because there's no Rishonim. It's virgin ground. You can apply new models, but you're taking the old paradigms and you're applying them to virgin Gemara, the Gemara that has no Rishonim that talked about it. Okay? So for the next 5 or 10 minutes, let's think about other parts. Yes, Benzir. I thought you had a question. Let's think about other parts of the menorah that may be dependent, that may not be functional, that may just be to beautify the menorah. And maybe, well, let's think on the opposite end of the extreme. What element of the menorah would you say is functional and can't be suspended even if the menorah is copper or iron?
One candle.
What?
One candle.
Well, let's see. Tell me a part of the menorah's body that maybe is so... What? The kanim. The Gemara says, wait a second. If you can suspend miksha, kikar, and kaftarim, gevim, and prachim, the Gemara says, then maybe you should also suspend kanim. Ema bazav bakanim. Ena bazav, ena bakanim. What type of menorah would not have kanim? How could you build a menorah without kanim? It's hard to know because the Torah says seven. Does the Gemara suggest, well, we'll see what the conclusion was. Is the Gemara suggesting one candle? Or is the Gemara suggesting one spine with shelves?
Can we just say the seven is also like beautification?
It's hard to know where it raises that. Let's first start with the arms versus the shelves. These are the arms. We'll think about that in a minute of the menorah. Whereas maybe this is only necessary to kanim when it's zav. When it's not zav, you don't need kanim. Ain't in kanim. Now, what would your answer be? That as opposed to the other elements that are suspended without zav, they're just beautifications. The kanim are, give me an English word.
Essential.
Structural. Without kanim, it's not a menorah. Nishkin menorah. So you can say, look, it's not a menorah of beauty. It's just a menorah hadlaka. So you don't need miksha. Very good. You don't need kikar. You don't need givim kaftarim. But without kanim, you have nothing. So what does the Gemara say? Menachos daf chavches. Ve'ema bazav kanim. Ena bazav. What's the language of the Gemara? Without kanim, it's
pamut.
So that just makes the question more intriguing. What does pamut mean? So what does Rashi say? Pamut? What should Rashi really say? Ain't a menorah. Who says ain't a menorah? What is Shida's language? Ain't a menorah le pamut. Pamut is the very good. Pamut is the antithesis of menorah, which is what I would like, and that would make the sugya be very logical. There are some elements that are ornamental. If you have zav, you need them. There are some elements that are functional, like arms. They're necessary even without zav. And without them, it's a pamut. It's nothing. It's not even a menorah, which is what the Shita says. I'm not sure that Rashi read it that way, but it's the way I would read the Gemara, the way the Shita read the Gemara. So we're deconstructing the menorah. This part of the menorah, is it part of the essential menorah, or is it part of the ornamental menorah? Nefkamina would be, do you need it in a menorah, she'ena shel zav? So here we're categorizing the menorah the same way we categorize Rishos Arabim, Shein, Tzveros. We're trying to take the data and create conceptual categories. What aspect of the menorah do these categories or these elements belong to? Menorah's pair or menorah's hadlaka? Look at Tosfos, for example. I think Tosfos read the Gemara this way. Okay? The Ema, Tosfos Dibre Maschol Detanya. The Ema, Ba'zav Ba'kanim, Hu Adin Davi Matzi Lemifrach, Ba'zav Ba'yirecha. Or I could have asked, maybe without zav, you don't need a yerach. What do you mean? A yerach with a menorah without a yerach isn't a menorah. You take away your hips. You're not a human torso without your hips. The yerach are the hips of the menorah. It's where the legs are attached to. It's the fusion between the bottom part of the menorah, the legs, and the top part of the menorah, the arms. So you want to create a fusion to this very, very sophisticated structure. Without a yerech, it's not going to be a menorah. Yerech is like the round base from which the legs protruded. So Tosfos is associating the arms with the hips. I'm using English words. Hakanim im hayerech ki ledati balikanim zelo menorah in kamenorah. Either way you look at it, whether it's shelves or not. I'm not sure if Rashi read it that way. So we're facing an interesting question. Are shelves necessary to create a menorah? Or it could be avi menorah, I'm sorry, arms. Or it could be a menorah without arms. Bli kanim, zichalet menorah gamim madafim. The arms are akidei losif beauty le menorah. This may be an interesting machlokas between Rishonim as to how the menorah actually looked. Machlokas between the person who sculpted the Arch of Titus and the Rambam. How does the menorah look on the Arch of Titus? Right. Concave or convex. How does the menorah look in the Rambam's Parashat Mishnayos? It depends which you're looking at. If you look at the Rambam's Parashat Mishnayos in this Shas of Vilna, it's Arch of Titus-like. If you look at the Rambam in the original Parashat Mishnayos, which was redacted by a big, big Yemenite Rav called Rav Kappa, who passed away very recently. So he has the original manuscript of the Rambam. There'll be someone speaking, actually, I think this Matzei Shabbos, who heads the Geniza section at Oxford, Cambridge. And he's got an original Rambam. I don't think he's not going to bring it, obviously. But in Cambridge, he'll show you. If you ever go there, I think he sent his son to the yeshiva once. He's very close to the yeshiva. He's got an original Rambam that was written in the day of the Rambam with like little ink. So the original Parashat Mishnayos Rambam has the arms at a diagonal, more of a modern menorah. I've never seen this. It's interesting. The Rambam's menorah is like this. Not the Arch of Titus with the broad U's. Which arms are more functional? Which arms are more ornamental?
V is functional, U is ornamental.
Right. To have a functional menorah, all you need is...
Why
would you have broad arms? The quickest way to get from point X to point Y is a diagonal. Why would you go there through a circuitous route? If it's not because you're trying to create an ornamental effect, or based on aesthetics, based on what's this term of aesthetics? When things look similar, we try to create similarity between different. What?
Symmetry.
Symmetry, right? Symmetry. There's a symmetry that this provides that this doesn't. We take elements that come from a distance and then merge together. There's a symmetry that doesn't reflect itself in the diagonals of this modern menorah. This whole question: are kanim necessary for the base menorah? Or a kind of necessary to create Rome and Beis Hashem could be a question as to how the menorah actually was constructed between the Rambam and I'm saying Moshe Rishonim. Yes, Shem Shimi.
Is the purpose of the Kanim that you have seven lights?
Right, but you can have seven lights without the rounded.
No, so then why not the single? What's the difference between that and the single pillar with the shelves?
Right. So I would have said that. The lights have to be, remember, you're creating radiance and lights that have them on shelves. It's not projecting light in the same way that distance creates. So you need a basic menorah to create light. And you just put light on top of one another, then you're not creating a diffusion of radiance. So you need some way to get to distance, but not necessarily the circuitous way of rounded arms. What other part of the menorah haven't we discussed? Well, this will end. We discussed the ornaments, we discussed the miksha, we discussed the kikar, not just parts, but the base. Tell us to talk to the base and where it doesn't look like the base. What?
That you use to light up?
The bays. What's the Gemara's language for the bays?
Yeah.
Neros. When we say ner, we think light, but the bays on top of the menorah. They were called neros that held the oil. What are they? Why does the Gemara explore that if they're not miksha, maybe you don't need bays? Well, that's hard to light without bays. So you need bays at a functional level, not just the beauty level. But now you'll see the power of Brisker Lumbus. Because Gemara says, well, maybe the bays don't have to be from the Kikar. Gemara quotes the Machlokas on Peches. Let's just see this Gemara. Wait a second. Why would the bays not have to be Kikar? You need bays. You can't say, oh, it's a menorah she'eino shel zav. You don't need bays. You still have to create light, shouldn't you? The Gemara has two Machloksin. Are the bays part of the kikar or not? Which could lead to some very different expense tabs. You may need more oil. The kikar is only the actual menorah. You've got to use other gold for the bays, for the neros. That's a machlokas peches on the bays, towards the bottom. D'tanya, about 10 lines down, Kikar Zav Tar Yasel Sel Lamanu Leminara Sheba Min HaKikar Minayin L'Neiro Seha Tamid Lamres Kol HaKelim HaElu. So the Neiros have to be Kikar, but not, of course, the tools and the tweezers. Divrim Nechemya. Okay. I'm sorry, I started a little bit too far down. Rabbi Nechemya Minara is about Minakikar V'lo Neiro Seha B'Kikar. So the two days of Rabbi Nechemya, one was in Nechemya, one was the Talmud of Rabbi Nechemya. And the Gemara wants to associate, key word, associate that with a different machlokas. What's the machlokas the Gemara associates this with? The question whether the Neiros come from the Beis is associated with which machlokas? Whether the Neiros are, the Neiros have to be Kikar or not is associated with which machlokas? Are the Neiros Miksha or not? Why would it be good if the Mineros are not Miksha? What would that help out a lot?
Doesn't have to be from the Kikar.
Forget the Kikar. How would it help on a functional level? Cleaning. If the Mineros are not Kikar, you just take them off, you cleanse them, you scrub them, and you put them back. Which is what it seems to be was Rav Shita. Amr of Huna Beredu of Yeshua Marav, about 7 lines after it gets wide, Ner Sheba Mikta Shal Prakim Havi. The Neiros, hard to know what he means, but the simple reading is actually were detachable. Miksha was the arms, was the base, with the legs, but the Neiros were detachable. You just took them off and you scrubbed them. The Gemara says later. And then the Gemara has another daya that says no, that the Neiros were Miksha, and how did you clean them? It's the sheet of Elizabeth Sadok. There was a little mechanism on the top that slid back and forth, Tashel Zav, which moved back and forth and swept out all the schmutz and all the soot and all the leftover debris. So it seems to be a machlokas between Rav. It's a complicated Gemara. I'm reading it in a very simplistic fashion. We don't have time to read it line by line. It seems to be a machlokas whether the Neiros were miksha and therefore cleaning had to be enabled by some mechanism, a spring mechanism, or the Neiros were not miksha and they could be removed and cleaned appropriately. And the Gemara thinks that this machlokas, now look at the, I'll just read 4 words and then we'll stop. The line beginning with the word shemen, the middle of the line, about 10 lines up. Uveplukta dahani tanoi. The machlokas whether the Neiros were miksha is really the same machlokas whether the Neiros are part of the kikar. What? What? Why can't those two machlokas be separated? Why can't I say that they're not miksha, but they're part of the kikar, or they're part of the kikar, but they are miksha, but they're not part of the kikar? Just tabulate the kikar without the Neiros and make it miksha. What logic can unite miksha-esque properties to kikar incorporation?
The roman,
exactly. Are these bays purely functional, or are the bays, look, for function, we just put some oil up there and some other receptor, or just, I don't know, maybe use candles or wax. These bays are to create a candelabra, to create beauty. Nafka Mina would be. If they're just functional, they're not part of the mixture, because the mixture isn't a functional element, nor is the kikar. If they're part of the ornamental value of the menorah, which, if this is true, then I have a kasher on chavches, and why does the Gemara consider that if not zav, you may not need bays, you may need something else? The Gemara never says that. If they're only part of the ornamental menorah, and therefore they have to be kikar, and the then why does the Gemara even consider that without Zav you don't need Beis? Like it considers Shai without Zav you don't need Miksha, without Zav you don't need Kikar without Zav. That's what I'm not sure of in the Gemara. I don't have enough traction in this Gemara to answer that question. But it seems as if the Gemara has established a real spectrum. Elements that are clearly part of the menorah, like arms, without which is not a menorah. Elements which are clearly not part of the function of the menorah, and they're only necessary when there's Zav. Then there's a machlokas about Neiros. And the way the machlokas is manifested are, the finger-snapping mechanism was, they came in and said, Rav argued with the Blessed of Tzadok, are they part of Miksha or not? Which was another way of saying, are they ornamental? Therefore, they should be part of Miksha. They're only functional. Who cares about them being part of Miksha? Are they part of the Kikar? Because they're ornamental. Or they're not part of the Kikar because it's just functional. I just don't understand why, if they're not part of the Miksha and they're not part of Kikar, why can't you also suspend them if they're not Zav? That's my question. If they're not part of Miksha, not part of Kikar, because they're not ornamental, they're just functional, then maybe if it's not Zav, why can't you just suspend them? So that's my question. Not sure. Let's take a few minutes to breathe. 12:22, and then we'll have the Masarashi. Did I get this wrong? One second. I'll just think about what I just said. Zahav, Miksha is just functional. So the answer could go the opposite way. Maybe it's the opposite of Miksha. I'm thinking about it. Miksha, Kikar, and Gevim are just ornamental, well, they're not functional. Neros, either they're just functional, they're just functional, in which case enough to be part of the Miksha, just functional, or, I'll say this, they're just functional.